Okay, I'm with Ronnie Ramaswamy. And Ronnie, you're the artistic director of Ragmala Dance.
Yes.
Maybe we should begin, what exactly is Ragmala Dance?
Well, I have to first say that now we are co-artistic directors. I'm co-artistic director with Aparna Ramaswamy. I'm the founder, but we are co-artistic directors now. Well, Ragmala Dance is a company where the dancers are trained in the classical style of Bharatanatyam, which comes from the southeastern part of India. The dance form is very, very rich and has, it's almost like an encyclopedia. It has so much. But using this form, we create work that is relevant, work that makes us, that we can make a statement that, that even though it echoes the past, it's material that is very relevant to the present. So we use poetry, mythology, philosophy, stories from the Hindu traditions, but we present it to the stage the modern day stage with our interpretation of it, not changing the stories, but the way with the staging and with choreography and visuals, we bring visual art forms, and everything is very well crafted and combined to bring this ancient but yet relevant material to today's world.
So how did you then first become interested in dance?
Well, I grew up in India, southern India, Madras, or now they call it Chennai, and that's the seat of Bharatanatyam. Everybody studies Bharatanatyam. For me, my cousin who lived in Kerala, my grandmother was very interested in dance. So there was small village, teachers are accessible, it's easy. So she had my cousin learn dance, and every summer when I went to visit them, I saw this happening and I really, really wanted it. And it's different in a bigger city because somebody has to take you to these classes. And my parents were not at that time they didn't have the time. My dad's a scientist, mom's homemaker, grew up in a joint family. It was not possible. But because of my desire, I pushed them to give me classes, and we found that there was a teacher teaching in my brother's school very close to him, to my home. So my brother, who's 5 years younger, was my chaperone. So I would come back from school and then run to these dance classes. Very, unknown dance teacher in the corner, the street corner, who taught young kids. But that actually was something that I was I found myself being drawn to it more and more. So she actually started to come to our house, to my house, and teach me. So that's how I started to learn Bharatanatyam.
So how old were you?
I started when I was 7, and I finished 7 or 8, I think between 7 and 8, and then at 17 I stopped.
Because?
Because that was the tradition in those days. Parents wanted me to just get married, and nobody in the Brahmin community wanted their children to dance. So that was the end of it at that time, until now.
So then, what happened in between?
Well, at 17, my marriage was arranged, and at 20, I got married. Then I moved to Calcutta, a small suburb in Calcutta called Chandanagar. So there was I never in my life thought I would continue dancing again, because I think people were quite happy with what they did. They learned music, they learned dance. Music, you can always sing if you are by yourself. Dance, you can't do it. So even though the desire was there, there was no possibility that it would, if I lived in India, that I could have ever danced. So I was content with what happened and had Aparna, and came to the United States when she was 3. And that's when it all started again, because the Indian, I was talking to people at the Indian community who, I had told them that I had studied dance, and so said there was nobody here at that time to do Bharatanatyam. So they asked me if I would perform at a Kaufman, in the Kaufman Union, for a Diwali function. So I had no music and no costume. You know, nobody brings all this if you had stopped dancing a long time ago. So there was one Mr. Reddy who, Kasturi and Dr. Reddy, who had classical music. So they gave me M.L. Vasanthakumari's tape of Alaripu, which is a piece, a very beginning piece, and Kamala Lakshman's Natana Madinar, which is a song about Shiva. Since it was in Tamil, I, you know, bought a $25 tape recorder and practiced it in the apartment. I actually choreographed it, and I found I loved it, and I danced it, and people really enjoyed it, and they asked me to teach the kids in the Indian community. But really, to tell you the truth, I didn't remember any of the vocabulary since I had, it's been so long. And then also, when you're learning when you're young, you don't really collect material. Your teacher teaches you something and you walk away from it. And so I started to go back to India, which was in 1980. I went back for 4 months. From then, you know, I went back to India for 4 months for like 15 years to get more material to come here and teach. So that was my beginning in Minnesota, mm-hmm. Bharatanatyam.
Maybe you can explain, because, well, there's many dance forms in India. You know, there's Kathak, there's Bharatanatyam, and I know there's a bunch of others as well.
Yeah.
So why here in Minnesota?
Why I came here?
Yeah.
Well, because my ex-husband's friend lived here in Minnesota. So we, you know, when you come from another culture, another country, you need someone. So we came to Minnesota because my Aparna's dad had a green card. You know, he was in the process of getting a green card, and after we got married about 3 years later, the option of getting it happened. So he had a friend here. So we decided that we would come to Minnesota.
Okay. How long has Ragmala been around?
The Ragamala was founded in 1992, so it's 21 years. So at the beginning, there was no Ragamala. I was dancing, was teaching Aparna and a few kids in the Hindu Mandir. Mm-hmm. And Aparna and I were performing, even though she was that, you know, then when she turned 8, we met Alar Melvalli, who came to Minneapolis, and we took her classes, and, you know, we became her students, and we've been learning from her. And that actually made me a lot more serious about dance, because, you know, Valli is an amazing teacher. To learn from her, for the first time in my life, I knew I was doing the correct thing. Because before that, there was always a fear of if I was doing things correct or not, you know. And once we started to study with her, we knew that we had the best teacher in the world. And you can't just not take that seriously. And Aparna was very much into this, and so was I. So we both started to perform the pieces that we learned with Valli in India. We'll go for 4 months, study with her, come back here, and perform with the Minnesota Dance Alliance and so on. And then in so once I had that confidence that I was getting better and better, I wanted to apply for grants, and I worked with the Minnesota Dance Alliance, Metropolitan Regional Arts Council, and wrote small grants, and I got them. I got a national endowment for the arts apprenticeship program, so I could go to India and study. So, and gradually, as you perform, you are more with the Minnesota Dance Alliance. I got more involved with, Susanna De Palma, Cassandra Shore, and Joe Kuala, you know. And so you're also more involved in other art forms, and we were trying to experiment and trying to see how can flamenco and Bharatanatyam come together. So, you know, all this makes you more creative in a way that I've always kept the vocabulary untouched, but you reach out a little bit more from where you are to a little out. And then that's when I heard Robert Bly's poem, Mirabai Versions. Actually, Jocelyn, a friend of mine, I don't know if you know her, mm-hmm. was a student of mine, had this book, Mirabai Versions by Robert Bly, and I was very, very moved by the poems and wanted to dance to it. I didn't know that he was who he was. I had never heard about Robert Bly at that time. And Cliff Sloan, do you know Cliff Sloan?
Yes.
So I asked him, and he said, you should call him and ask him if he would. I said, would you read when I, if I dance? And he said, you should call him and ask. So I called him, and he said, sure. And that's how Aparna and I did a piece about Mirabai's poem, as well as Rumi. And that actually people who came to see Robert Bly saw us, and that led to the understanding that, you know, English poetry actually got people's attention. They understood what I was doing than just classical Indian music.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but if you are performing in the United States, I think it's good to be a little accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So the David Whetstone, who was the musician with Robert Bly, and I actually started the company together. The piece was called Ragam. The company was called Ragamala because the first piece that we did was Ragamala, a painting in motion. So that in 1992, we incorporated the company as Ragamala, Ragamala Dance. It was called Ragamala Music and Dance Theater, and the idea was to make this art form accessible to all audiences. With that in mind, we started.
So the Robert Bly Mirabai collaboration, was that 92?
That was in 91.
Okay.
So at that time, that was before we formed Ragamala.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first time I met David, Marcus, and Robert Bly. So that was in it, because I never thought that any music other than South Indian would fit our dance. But then I was blown away by the emotion, because it's not just about the music, it's about the content, the material, and the emotion that was so filled in that performance.
So you began right away with collaborations.
Yes, yes.
And it wasn't just straight classical dance.
No, we began with, I mean, so I was doing Indian classical dance. Then we had Robert Bly. Yeah, it is kind of, because we use tabla, we use sitar, which is not ever used in Bharatanatyam. Even at least now people are trying to do things, but I did that such a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
with Robert Bly's reading, and then I danced to that, because I was kind of nervous just doing it to that, and I had Usha sing the songs in Hindi, so that there would still be a little a component of classical dance and music together.
Mm-hmm. So, and throughout the years, you've continued to explore collaborations. So it just started out with this in mind, that you need to do this to make it more accessible.
Well, you know, more accessible, but also at that time, if you think about what, 22 years ago, even when I started 25 years ago, it was hard to get audiences. You know, when I was dancing to when I first began, it was all only Indian audiences. I was dancing to all these little festivals in the temple and so on. When the American audiences come, if you don't have a variety, it's not like they don't have that much knowledge to enjoy varnams of all kinds. You know, I mean, I think the place where I am and where I began this also made you think that way, that, you know, you had to do this. If you want to grow, you'd have your audience base bigger, those who, you know, you have to take the art form to them. So not only was I collaborating, say if you have, you dance with, I did a lot of collaborations. It also brought that audience into ours, and then a lot of them stayed. So it was kind of saying, you know, here's rice, but here's lemon rice, and here's coconut rice. And so you give them a little flavor and introduce the art form to them.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'd heard somewhere along the line that you and Rita started a dance thing together years before.
Yes. I don't know I think it stopped in 98, because we both were applying, you know, we were applying for work together, but then we had our own ideas, and we had to, if I applied, then we couldn't apply in an organization to do two projects. So we decided that this is good, because then she can apply for hers and I can apply for mine. So we did for 3-4 years, I think, we had an organization together called Nritya Jyoti. and the two of us created work together.
Mm-hmm. And was that mostly Indian audience at that time?
Yes.
Okay. And so you found with the Robert Bly thing that, you know, it brought in a different audience.
Yeah, it did, definitely. I mean, it was performed in Studio 6A downtown. You know, I've never been downtown before much. And it brought audiences that would go in that, their dance season, you know.
Okay.
So they had two different groups of performances, and I was in the bigger piece with Oye Con Como, you know, these are big performers, and I didn't realize what big names they are. And I was in the same, I can't remember what I'm going to say. It's they had two different dance festivals. They didn't call it festivals, but I don't remember. Anyway, it's in that, the whole 3 weeks of six performers or something. So
okay.
I was one of them.
Yeah, okay. Didn't the Walker do a... It was like a choreographer's thing. I don't.
Yeah, no, I was never part of that.
You were never part of that.
No,
oh, okay.
I actually then in 98 the Walker did a piece that I again performed with all these poets, various poets that I. It was called "Where the Hand Goes, the Eyes Follow." That these are the pictures that I collaborated with Mark Norberg, a photographer, and I sent the poems that. I sent my dance, these pictures, to six poets all over the country and had them write two poems for each, one poem each for each picture. And I got 12 poems, and I had the poets come here and read them on their own, and then had them set in music by Howard Levy on the piano and harmonica. And they had the mural in the back, and I performed in one of the galleries. That was in 98. So all these interesting things happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think East gradually, definitely, even these venues brought us more audiences.
Okay. Well, so with these collaborations, you started seeing the audiences grow. How have they grown and how have they changed the years?
It's a very interesting question, because I think you have to stretch out as much as you can, and then you have to go back, just like that. After having done all these collaborations, you know, the collaborations, all of them had, I was in those days excited about how much can Bharatanatyam be pushed. But then when Aparna finished college and joined me as a artistic director, co-artistic director, we started to go back to the very, you know, the meat of Indian culture. And perform extremely traditional stuff, but in a very innovative way. So we went, instead of just doing an evening concert, we did pieces like Yatra, which is a whole, I mean, that was quite the lifetime, you know, start birth to life. So more into philosophy than just mythology and the traditional format of Bharatanatyam. So she, actually Aparna, actually influenced me more that to come back. Now that we have done this, let's go to our roots, you know, let's go back and look at our own thing. And having been born and raised in India and knowing the languages of India, you know, I'm a very good, I'm a wealth of information. So with her interest and my knowledge, now our whole company has taken a different twist. All the audiences are still with us, and actually it has grown a lot more because they get the real, I think, the depth of Bharatanatyam, the feeling, the story, what it should be, but in a different format.
So you sort of modernized or made it more contemporary, but
yeah.
Yet you've kept, it sounds like you've gone to the hardcore essence.
Yeah.
Of what it is.
Yes. And, you know, in some ways, like, we are not, Bharatanatyam is a solo dance form, but, you know, we have a group of dancers. Our dancers are all not Indian. So in some ways, we are very different from an authentic Bharatanatyam company. We always have to have something that would help the audience understand. So we weave the poetry and everything in the performances instead of just saying, okay, here's this and here's this. So without that, when we did a piece called Stree, which is a story from a South Indian epic, but the whole story, Zaravar wrote it in English, the script, and the entire story, even though it was totally classical music, totally classical dance, the storytelling was done through narration throughout the piece in English. And when we took it to India, people loved it. They said, we can understand the story for the first time because of all the language barriers that they have. Many people can understand English. So what's happening is that people really appreciate that, and they appreciated it. We got like 27 papers carried our reviews, and they loved it. We were a little nervous. But so, you know, it. I think not that we have, we try to give something to the audience so that they can, even, you know, because it's so heavy, they have to have something to get in there. And I think we have found the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. What have been, say, some of your most successful collaborations?
The collaboration with Shubhendra Rao, with Saskia Rao, mm-hmm. that was actually Aparna's idea, and that was phenomenally successful for us. We had no narration; it was only music and dance. But the I think a collaboration is successful if the musicians or if the collaborators are strong. You know, if they are very good with what they bring, then it happens very, very beautifully. Our collaboration with Tokara Taiko, Art Lee from Japan, was extraordinarily successful. Again, there was a guy, you know, he's not Japanese, but lives in Japan and studied from masters and really works with his art form. And he's very young, extremely interested in, fascinated by the rhythms of Indian dance, but then, you know, also interested in the idea of the philosophy, and very open to try new things. And we really had a successful two collaborations now, one that toured all over the country and even in Japan, and one we just created called 1001 Buddhas, and which we are hoping to tour in a couple of years. And I think that these are extremely, very, very, very successful. We've actually had quite a lot of good collaborations. You know, it is, I think we pick the collaborators in a way that we have something in common. You can't just say, okay, because people tell us, oh, why don't you, you know, collaborate with a hip hop person, you know. You don't just collaborate because there is someone there. There is something that is a thread that connects the two of us. And because we don't do each other's art form, but we meet where the perfect crossover is, it works beautifully. Mm-hmm. So I think we have had, I mean, I'm just naming these two because we just did it.
Yeah, and I remember it was an outdoor thing, but with the Gemmel.
Oh, they were amazing, yes.
But knowing some of the history of the whole area, there is a commonality.
The story, Ramayana, yeah. And you know, so the Bali, Deva, and we had two collaborations with them at the Walker, and
or Setu.
Yeah, the Setu and Dwi, we did two, okay. And with the same collaborators, and that was, really a spiritual experience. It was beautiful. Again, Deva was extremely open to suggestions, and you know, we were fascinated because, you know, I think there should be, you know, we are not, as Aparna says, we are not, or we'll never be avant-garde, you know. So there has to be some route which kind of has a connection, which makes sense. You know, even the taiko is a big drum, but the way they learn it, and the way they speak those, the syllables, and the way their rhythms, and the teacher-student relationship they have, So all of that kind of plays in how we work together and how they all, you know, the process happens. Mm. And if someone is not willing to, or not as collaborative, or not interested, then it just doesn't work.
Mm. So it sounds like there's also a lot of...
When we did our first performance, you know, I think it was like 10, 11, it was Jerome Foundation was there, and they would give us like $5,000. But slowly, but surely, definitely, you know, we are now getting national funding. I mean, though it was better a few years ago, it's not, I won't complain. We are, you know, we have gotten the MAP fund for the first time, and two NDPs, you know, so I don't have any complaint. Minnesota, we have Target and McKnight. But I think we have raised our work in a way that people are noticed, we are being noticed by national funders and presenters. And that was the goal when, you know, most Indian dancers who come here become teachers, and they have lots of students, and they don't start. I mean, I think it's still hard for Indians to understand what a company is, because mostly people say, she runs an academy, or she runs a dance school, and I have to say, well, no, actually, I run a company. And then they don't understand what's a company, and on top of it, what's a nonprofit company? And a lot of people don't understand why you need money for this. You know, I think it's really important that people are educated as to how a company runs. I, given an opportunity, I would go talk about it. It is running a company is completely different from being the sole headmistress of a group of dancers. So, yeah, it's I wouldn't do anything different given another chance.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're two ways we're going to go, but the first one is in the process. Then, how has and we've sort of touched upon this some, but how has Ragmala's vision changed over the years? Because it seems as the funding has come, the vision has changed too.
Well, the vision is getting bigger. That's what definitely we, this year, last year we did Sacred Earth, and that was a big production. You know, we had to, it included visual art, bringing an artist from India, and creating huge, you know, backdrops and videos, and we traveled with that. It was very, very successful. The next three projects are getting bigger and bigger. So, you know, we are working towards a new agent. Our old agent is, you know, we had her for 15 years. Now we are moving to a different direction. And our old agent used to say, "No, don't make anything so big that we can't tour." You know, so I always believe in creating the work that you want to create. You don't, it'll tour if it needs to, but if you don't, you know, put everything that you want on stage, then you're not really being truthful to yourself. So yeah, our vision is that our next project is at the Walker by the Song of the Jasmine with Rudresh Mahantapa, that Aparna is taking the lead on, and I'll be working and dancing, but she's the main person. We are very excited about this. It's going to be a departure from. Even though you don't want it to be a departure, it will be, because of the musical instruments, the musical genre is so different. But the interesting thing is, he is Indian, he's very interested in classical music, but he only does jazz. And Aparna only does classical Indian dance and doesn't do jazz. So we are trying to paint a picture here where we can bring all these things together. I'm sure you heard that their concert at the Walker, which
was
awesome.
I was there.
Yeah, and then our next two, I don't want to give away my projects, but they are, I think, bigger. Mm-hmm. But they are all very Indian in nature.
Okay. So when did the touring start?
We've been touring since 1998. So 98, we did the piece called Rainseed, Return of the Rainseed. And that was the first time we got our first tour of Indiana. We did 8 places in Indiana. Gradually, you know, we've been touring all over the country, and we did 28 to 30 tours on Sacred Earth.
So your vision has been bigger rather than just the Twin Cities.
Yes.
All along.
We've always wanted, yes, we wanted to, and international, you know, we've gone to Bali, and we were worried about India, but now every year we've been performing in India, and which is, was a dream, mm-hmm. and it's the last 3 years we performed in three different festivals, and Aparna is going back this year to perform solo, and we are hoping next year we'll do a festival in Bombay. So it's very, I mean, it was a little nervous because we are all not Indian. So we were kind of a little worried about what the press would say. Many people didn't even notice they were non-Indians because they were dancing so beautifully.
So, well, maybe here we should talk about then the school part. From the beginning, has it always been a school involved with Ragamala?
We've always had a school involved with Ragamala. Never too big, because we are now hardly ever in town, so it's difficult to run it. We have maximum we have had is 40, but somewhere between 20 and 40. And we don't do, you know, they do the debut recitals. We do very few of them because we concentrate more on, I want to call it the Harvard of Bharatanatyam. So if you come here, then you do it the right way, and just like my teacher taught us. So there are some lovely girls coming up. Sadly, all Indian students leave. They go off and become doctors, engineers. They don't want, I mean, this is not a money-making profession. So nobody wants to be professionals. Yeah. Yeah, everybody knows it. That's why they don't want to do that.
Yeah, we know it's, you know, it's passion.
Yeah, if you don't have that, then you don't have a...
Yeah. So then the school has brought you dancers into the company then throughout the time?
Oh, yeah. Actually, not until... We had Kim, who's a Vietnamese girl who was dancing with us. Then she got married and left. She was fabulous. She started when Aparna started to teach her when she was 12 years old. She danced with us for probably 10 years. And there was one more, Sarah, who is an adopted Indian child, who danced with us and performed in our company for a while. And then she's just social work, and she's doesn't have much time to do this. Otherwise, girls do their, whoever has finished their debut recital and they're ready to perform, they leave. So we haven't gotten too many from the school. We do have two or three really coming up right now, but it's hard for them to tour or perform when they have school. And once they finish school, then they have to go to college, so they're no longer available. So that is our problem. Mm-hmm. So we run, you know, we have five dancers, including me. And that's a dangerous situation. I put an ad on the Facebook saying that if anybody's interested in performing with Ragamala, there was 1,000 hits in 3 hours, but not one response. So, you know, finding someone and training them for 4 or 5 years to perform is hard, because Bharatanatyam we have so many styles, schools, and our school is so different that nobody wants to change their style. Everybody's happy with their own style. So,
even though they're in the middle of America,
yeah,
they don't want to change their style.
Why? It's hard. Why physical? Why work so hard to change something when you can do what you want with it? I mean, it depends upon what you want. I changed my style when I was 29, 30 years old, because I just loved it. And every day I think, because I did that, today our performers are at the Joyce or at the Kennedy Center, because it's so phenomenal. Our style is just superb because it comes from a superb master. But I, you know, not everybody looks at it that way, you know. I wonder, even in India, if I were in India, I would stop dancing and become a student of my teacher and I'd never perform again. But it doesn't happen.
Interesting.
Like that.
Yes. So you run the school basically to teach people the style.
Yeah.
And people keep continuing to come and learn?
Yeah, they come, you know, because it's not a, there's no guarantee of 1 year or 2 years. It depends upon how good the kids are and how quick. All our dancers teach, so it's nice that our, they have worked so hard. I mean, the two of me, my daughters are Indian, you know, the three of us, and then we have three, and Amanda just recently dropped out. So we have only three people who are trying to teach everybody. Mm-hmm. So.
So what do you see in the future for Ragamala?
In the future for Ragamala, I'm hoping that there will be, with our new agent, there would be more international tours, that we would have more national tours and festivals and funding.
Yeah. How have the audiences changed over the years?
Actually, we have, I would say, 80% non-Indian audience. And the audience are, we always sell out the call center or any walker. So we have very good following, which is, I mean, I think what we give has so much, you know, the backbone of it is mostly spirituality and not just mere entertainment. So people really enjoy what we do, and we are very sincere and hardworking. And I don't know, they seem to like us so far.
Yeah. Well, I find that kind of amazing, that this tradition that's so rooted in India, but yet your audiences are 85% non-Indian.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, I am all, I mean, we definitely do miss the Indian audience. I don't know if they don't come because it's, our performances are downtown. Because there's a lot of, you know, culturally there are, you know, I never went downtown until I started to perform there. So, you know, people are very happy, you know, they are all in the suburbs. And also, you know, right now, probably there are 50 Indian dancers in the Indian community. I don't know. So I don't know if as much Indians are as particular as the college they go to in art. Do they only want to see the, you know, really classical good? I mean, I won't say good, everything is good. But, you know, you follow somebody. I think that's how it works in the art field.
Yeah.
And one has to know, before there were 1,000 people, you knew everybody. Now there's 100,000 people, you don't know anybody. So there's a lot of marketing things that you need to do, we need to do, in order to learn our Indian audience, which has, you know, we have not had any time. It's like we're all running to doing the next thing or the next thing. Mm-hmm. And it would be wonderful to have, I mean, we have tried to perform at the Hindu temple for free, for people to come and see us. And they like us. Everybody, you talk to anybody, they'll say, oh, Ragamala is really good. But that doesn't bring money to the table.
It doesn't get them out of the temple and into the halls.
I think everybody's really busy, you know. You come here as a second generation immigrant, you work really, really hard to put your kids through college, and art is not that important, I guess.
Is there anything we haven't touched upon that you want to address?
I think, I would say that, I think this is about Ragamala, but also a legacy. Like, I have brought two daughters, and both of them are almost, you know, the one is really, really well known all over, Aparna, and Ashwini is starting to get there, which is not an easy thing to do, you know, bring some your kids here and teach them culture and be part of this, not just your own culture, but embrace both cultures and work in the arts. I think what I wanted to say was that the Indian community, I know they are, but it's, I always think that, you know, when people move to Minnesota, they find out if there is a Guthrie, or is there a good ballet school? I wish there was that feeling of pride that this Indian company has taken us to the Kennedy Center, you know, the Indian community has. I don't think there are companies that are presented like we are presented to in the biggest theaters in the country. It would be nice to to be in that position.
To be respected in your own hometown.
Yes.
Yes, because I had no idea personally that you toured as much as you did. I knew that, you know, there was the Kennedy Center and various things, but I had no idea it was
a big
extent.
Yeah, and this year we have commissions, so it's just this is the first time they are co-commissioners for this project with the Jasmine. And I'm sure you know about my nomination for the... So all this adds to, it's all feather in the community cap.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You've talked about how when you first began, that it out of necessity the collaborations came.
Necessity and excitement.
Yes, and the excitement. And then when Aparna started coming and growing into her own, that you both wanted to go back to your roots. So how do you see things in the dance form then evolving?
Well, the roots is not, you're not going back into the same format. You're just going back to your own encyclopedia to get the things
out. Your vocabulary.
That's it, our vocabulary. I mean, not just the dance vocabulary, but as I mentioned, I mean, there's no dearth for stories and philosophy and poetry. I mean, it's, as long as I live, I think we can find things. So that's what is, exciting. There are so many things that are exciting now that you open your door and look into that same closet that you have kind of only looked on
You've
the top.
You've glanced and then said, well, this is here too?
This, and then because of the, we have music composer in India, we have all these musicians, those things are possible to do. Before it was there, but what could we do with it? We couldn't do anything with it. So we do it. I think we have very, very good ideas. And we have good aesthetic taste. And then we have very good discipline and work ethic. So all this together, you can have material. If you don't have taste, then it falls. So that's all this together. And, that's what makes exciting work. Mm-hmm. And also, creating 1001 Buddhas. I mean, think about it. We were in Japan performing with these with our collaborators and went to Sanjay Sangendro temple and looked at the statues, and my goodness, this was Shiva, this is Avalokiteshvara, this is Lakshmi, they're all looking like this, and you think they all came from India and said, let's make a piece, we should do it. And then you read and find out things and more, and here you have then you have the bodies, and then you have the musicians, and then you have people from Japan who wants to collaborate, and then you make the piece. So it's not like everybody looks at things and says, well, I can do this. I can do something from this. So I think we have intelligence in that artistic intelligence to create something from, this is an idea, but then how do you bring that on stage? And then I have to say, without our dancers, our dancers are just totally dedicated. And it's every time I look at them and think, they're not even Indian. Here I am telling them, long for Krishna, you're doing this. And they do it. It's not like I'm trying to convert them, but, as an actor, you have to do what you have to do. And then you put your feelings and your emotions. And here we have a handful of fabulous performers.
Yes, and so I think that's where the hard work and the discipline.
Yeah. And it took, it has taken so, now it was like I was used to be so scared of our teacher to tell her that what we are doing, And then finally when she was here, I said, would you watch this? And showed her three, and she sat down and watched it. This is really good. And it uses all the Pandanallur style. It's not, the dance is not taken away. You can have classical dance and you can take away its expression, you can take away its rhythm, you can take away and make it modern, but then it's nothing. It's when you take everything and then place it in places where it thrives, then it has its meat and blood is there. So she said, this is very good, and then she said, you can perform it in India. That's when we went to India. Until then we have not taken our work to India. And then, so when this Buddha was created, I sent her the review of it. I said, I would love to show you this, but I haven't, she was here, but we didn't have time. So now she really, really thinks Raghamava is doing very good work. She said, wherever I go, I hear good things about you. So
can't ask more.
Yeah, that's the ultimate, your ultimate audience is your teacher.
Yeah, exactly.
But we, you know, we have learned a lot from her, this, the whole, I mean, without, if she wasn't there, she gave me, I would always tell her that you gave me a life, you know, I only have a degree in drawing and painting, and without this dance, putting everything into this, and the sophistication and everything, I, actually we have learned from her. The style, mm-hmm. the technique, the beautiful technique.
So it sounds as if she's created a, given you something, a challenge that you've risen to.
Yeah, yeah.